Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Literature and Spirituality Podcast, episode number 36. Our passage from the Word of God today is 2 Corinthians 1:13. Literature is defined as imaginative or creative writing, especially of recognized artistic value. Spirituality is defined as the quality or state of being concerned with faith and religion or religious matters. The purpose of this podcast is to examine how these two subjects intersect with one another and how they relate to our lives, which reads, "For we write none other things unto you than what ye read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end." Our spirituality and literature quote for today is from C.S. Lewis. He said, "Literature adds to reality. It does not simply describe it. It enriches the necessary competencies that daily life requires and provides, and in this respect, it irrigates the deserts that our lives have already become." Wow. In this podcast today, we are using as our texts, as always, Literature and Spirituality by Yadu Yamphe and Mark Ray Smith, and Literature, An Introduction to Fiction, Poetry, Drama, and Writing by X.J. Kennedy and Dana Joya. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase any one of these books from our website. Our first topic for today is Spirituality as Quest, Part 32, from the book Literature and Spirituality by Yadu Yamphe and Mark Ray Smith. Today we will continue reading a selection from Augustine's Confessions. This selection is from Book 8, The Grace of Faith, Chapter 5, The Inner Conflict. "Thus I came," he said, "to understand from my own experience what I had read, how the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. I truly lusted both ways, yet more in that which I approved in myself than in that which I disapproved in myself. For in the latter it was not now really I that was involved, because here I was rather an unwilling sufferer than a willing actor. And yet it was through me that habit had become an armed enemy against me, because I had willingly come to be what I unwillingly found myself to be. Who then can with any justice speak against it, when just punishment follows the sinner? I had now no longer any accustomed excuse that as yet I hesitated to forsake the world and serve thee because my perception of the truth was uncertain. For now it was certain, but still bound to the earth. I refused to be thy soldier, and was as much afraid of being freed from all entanglements as we ought to fear to be entangled." We will continue reading a selection from Augustine's Confessions in our next episode. Our second topic for today is Reading a Story, Part 36, from the book Literature, An Introduction to Fiction, Poetry, Drama, and Writing by X.J. Kennedy and Dana Joya. Today we will begin reading the fourth part of William Faulkner's short story, A Rose for Emily. So the next day we all said she will kill herself, and we said it would be the best thing. When she had first begun to be seen with Homer Barron, we had said she will marry him. Then we said she will persuade him yet, because Homer himself had remarked he liked men, and it was known that he drank with the younger men in the Elks Club, that he was not a marrying man. Later we said, poor Emily. Behind the jealousies, as they passed on Sunday afternoon in the glittering buggy, Miss Emily with her head high and Homer Barron with that cocked and Emily with her head high and Homer Barron with his hat cocked and a cigar in his teeth, reins and whip in a yellow glove. Then some of the ladies began to say that it was a disgrace to the town and a bad example to the young people. The men did not want to interfere, but at last the ladies forced the Baptist minister. Miss Emily's people were Episcopal, to call upon her. He would never divulge what happened during that interview, but he refused to go back again. The next Sunday they again drove about the streets, and the following day the minister's wife wrote to Miss Emily's relations in Alabama. So she had blood kin under her roof again, and we sat back to watch developments. At first nothing happened, then we were sure that they were to be married. We learned that Miss Emily had been to the jeweler's and ordered a man's toilet set in silver with the letters HB on each piece. Two days later, we learned that she had bought a complete outfit of men's clothing, including a nightshirt, and we said they are married. We were really glad. We were glad because the two female cousins were even more grisome than Miss Emily had ever been. So we were not surprised when Homer Barron, the streets had been finished some time since, was gone. We were a little disappointed that there was not a public blowing off, but we believed that he had gone on to prepare for Miss Emily's coming, or to give her a chance to get rid of the cousins. By that time it was a cabal, and we were all Miss Emily's allies to help circumvent the cousins. Sure enough, after another week they departed, and as we had expected all along, within 3 days, Homer Barron was back in town. A neighbor saw the Negro man admit him at the kitchen door at dusk one evening, and that was the last we saw of Homer Barron and of Miss Emily for some time. The Negro man went in and out with the market basket, but the front door remained closed. Now and then, we would see her at a window for a moment, as the men did that night when they sprinkled the lime, but for almost 6 months she did not appear on the streets. Then we knew that this was to be expected too, as if that quality of her father, which had thwarted her woman's life so many years, or so many times, had been too virulent and too furious to die. Ladies and gentlemen, we will continue reading the fourth part of William Faulkner's short story, A Rose for Emily, in our next episode. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to use parables and stories and different kinds of writing to express the gospel to those who are lost, who will not hear it any other way but through a parable or through some type of short story, and or some kind of drama. Lord, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, whatever the case, save their souls, and help us to win some by any means necessary. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, influential English writer, poet, and Professor J.R.R. Tolkien said, "There is a place called heaven where the good here unfinished is completed, and where the stories unwritten and the hopes unfulfilled are continued. If you wish to go to this place called heaven one day, let me show you how you can do that. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws at some point in your life, and so have I. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, this is bad news, I know, but here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Until next time, my beloved, may God bless you and keep you.